You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good,
Gene
Johnson.
From
the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing, and we are doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Breaking Bad, Season 5, Episode 13, to Hajuli. I'm John Comerford, joined on the studio here by Kristen Snyder.
Hi, guys.
Tamara Berg.
Hey, everybody.
Matt Lieberman.
Good evening.
And Phil Svitek will be chiming in from time to time and helming
hello,
this.
Hello.
Okay, so in this episode, Todd ups his percentage to 76. We see Huel looks like he's joining a WITSEC program, ostensibly, but we got to start at the shootout because we are still processing this. We just finished watching the episode. We haven't had any time to really think about it. What's your blood pressure?
Through the roof. How do you cliffhanger that? How is that a cliffhanger?
I don't know.
But, you know, this is the beginning of the final four.
Yes, of course.
Episodes. And oh, good Lord. Seriously, I think we're going to have a stroke. Somebody in America is going to have a stroke.
The whole episode, I was tense. I mean, they were just bleeding it like crazy.
I need a massage. Like a week-long massage. Because I'm like cramped.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
How many of the next, like, episodes are going to still be in Tehology? Like, I feel like this is the war of Tehology.
Tehology. I know we're going to butcher that. Our apologies to anybody who really knows how to pronounce it, but
right.
Our best guess is Tehology.
Tehology.
All right. So, I thought the whole episode was terrific, but that shootout was so tense. And I don't know where you go from there. It's like, how are they going to up? They got three more episodes. How are you going to keep this pace? How are you going to keep this tension? They're going to have to keep topping themselves in the next three episodes. I just go, I don't know how. I don't get it. I don't know how they go, okay, here's how we do that.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
I promise you they will.
I know they will. I know they will. Obviously, they're completely successful in their efforts. But I'm just going, man, I'm charged. Look at that. I'm spilling water.
Spilling water everywhere.
The worst thing for me was like as Walt's walking towards them and he's getting arrested and then Hank calls Marie. And the whole time I'm like, they're hanging on this scene way too long.
Oh,
something bad is going to happen.
And then when Hank says, I may not be home for a while.
Yeah.
We all gasped.
Never ever say I might be out late. You know, I'm just going to go pick up a pack of smokes.
So a couple questions. Walt calls Uncle Jack and says, all right, don't come.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course he shows up and he shows up, I'm sure, to protect his investment because he wants Walt to cook for him.
Right, exactly.
But then when Walt is sitting there cuffed in the car, well, he does. I'm sure Jack doesn't see that he's cuffed, so to speak, but he's telling him, no. So is it, why does Uncle Jack decide, let's throw down?
The money.
You think?
You just said it, yeah.
Yeah, you think it's all that? Because, I mean, all right, go ahead.
He even said Walt offered to triple the amount that he paid per head for the prisons, and he said, that's a drop in the bucket for what I could make off of you. He's protecting his investment by any means necessary.
But even though Walt, the guy that he knows is the mastermind behind this, even though he's telling him to stand down.
Yeah.
So, because he could be ruining a whole plan that Walt has put into action. I mean, he doesn't know.
But that's the thing. Walt is not his boss.
No, I know. But he knows Walt. I mean, look, he did all Walt's figured, you know, Walt had, okay, here's what I need you to kill these 10 guys. I'm sure Uncle Jack didn't. I don't think he came up with all that, how to do it.
Well, I'm sure he played a significant role in planning it.
Walt
doesn't know anything about planning prison murders.
No, but he does know how to. Okay, he's the one that said he needed to have it. I mean, I don't think Uncle Jack said, okay, we're going to get this all done in 2 minutes.
Well, no, he set the parameters, but I think it's very much, it was Uncle Jack who figured out how they were going to do it, who they were going to get to do it, the various ways that the guys were killed. This is Uncle Jack very firmly saying to Walt, because Walt's screaming, don't do it, back away. He's saying, I don't care what you say, you're going to cook for me.
Right.
And coming out into the next episode, if Hank and Gomi don't make it, which
odds are
they won't make it. I see Walt as captive to these guys, chained to a lab, and just cooking, or ostensibly till the end of his days, until he eventually escapes.
No, I get that. I mean, I don't disagree with you on any of the greed part, or that he's trying to say, okay, he's okay. cooking for me no matter what. No, I don't. I'm just going. But there was no hesitation on that. I mean, this is the guy that, I mean, I'm just saying, he's Heisenberg. You know him as Heisenberg. He tells you to stand down. He's frantically telling you don't do this. There could have been other reasons, and he doesn't care.
Yeah, I think he doesn't care. Yeah. And I think he's, you know, he's a strong arm, and he doesn't come from smarts. But what he does see is his cash cow.
Right.
Floating away. The minute he gets the call that says it's off, he's like, well, now what am I going to do? Live right. with 70, 76%, if you look at it in the bright light, yeah. blue meth? No. Yeah. It's not going to do it. I have to have Walt, and so regardless, I'm going to go do it because I need him.
They were kind of waiting to take some kind of action. Sure. They were just at a bar.
Waiting for the call.
They had their vests nearby.
Ready to go. Absolutely.
And then so the other thing is, what do you think is your thinking about why Walt decides to give himself up?
I think he's out of options at that point. I mean, he's right. It's either you walk through the desert.
Yeah, he's done it before.
He has, but not with potentially helicopters and dogs chasing him.
I mean, I'm going. What, now he's going to give up?
He confessed.
He confessed. I know everything.
I know that's a point. He has confessed, so he knows he's going in. He's not going to go on the run. He's not going to try to get out of this. It just seemed like he gave up too easily for me.
There was a reason why he didn't kill Jesse, and it's the same reason why he told the Aryan Brotherhood not to shoot Hank.
Okay, but here's the thing. Yeah, he didn't kill Jesse, but he ordered the hit on Jesse. Yeah. So he is killing
Jesse.
He's
just one step away from it.
Yeah. Well, there's a difference between necessity and revenge, you know? He's too close to it, and he wouldn't be able to pull the trigger on Jesse.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
And he wouldn't be able to pull the trigger on Hank either. And Gomi's there with a big old shotgun. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, I just thought it was so it was too easy for me. I was going, wow, he's just going to get up and that's it.
It was very unsatisfying.
Well, let me throw this in the mix. This is what I was thinking. The name of this episode is
Tehadjili,
which is an Indian reservation.
Right.
As you know, John, because I know of the script that you wrote, sovereign land.
Yes.
The state and federal laws of the United States do not apply there.
Yeah.
Do you think that has anything to do with what's going to happen in the next three
Could
episodes?
Could be. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing I was thinking. I go, well, they made a point to be on...
explain that. So,
on a reservation. So, you know, ostensibly, they don't have any jurisdiction.
The DEA has no jurisdiction.
Correct.
No.
That's correct.
So I was thinking, okay, he's doing this because they can't arrest him on... Yeah, that's why he said.
That's what I was.
That's why
Hank
they
was saying,
there in the first
"We'll call
place,
the tribal police."
Tribal police,
as we're leaving,
right?
Because they obviously didn't know where they were headed when they first went chasing after him,
right?
So I'm going, okay, there must be something there legal that he's going to. I thought maybe that's why he's giving himself up so easily because he knows that this is, you know, it's not a cut and dried arrest. Because he's on tribal land.
But the confession, I can't imagine the confession would not be admissible because it doesn't matter where
excited
in the world you are.
You know, but is it one of those states where you can't record somebody unless they have their permission or whatever? Maybe that's an admissible. I don't know if that's one of those things in that state, one of those laws in that state. Go ahead.
I personally felt that it was anything but easy. He was out of cards to play.
See, that's the part. That was just the one thing I didn't buy.
But didn't you believe the panic that he was going
absolutely,
through as he was driving?
Absolutely. And, I just felt because of the panic and because he'd said all that stuff, I was like, I know he's out of options in that sense, but I just didn't think he has so much hubris that I would think that in some way he would either think that he could get out of this or, I don't know, run away from it or something. But it just like, for me, as I'm watching it, I get all the reasons you're giving me, but as I'm watching it, I'm going, He just got up and dropped his gun and got it red. That's it.
Well, I found it, like, very unsatisfying at first. But did you guys feel like the uncles were always going to come? Like,
oh, absolutely.
Because that's what I was waiting for. It was, like, play by play. We were waiting there, like, way too long.
I didn't either.
I thought he was going to finagle out of it in some way. That's why, right. You know, he must have a plan. Mm-hmm. He must have a plan. That's why he's doing this.
I mean, he was crying. I don't remember the last time I saw that.
I get that. But I also, in that, I was thinking that he...
That's significant.
It took him a while to finally come out. And I'm going, in that time, I was thinking, you know, because he's always coming up with some sort of plan. And I was thinking, oh, he's got something up his sleeve right now. And he's just doing this as part of it because he needs to get to the next thing. In order to do that, he has to get out of here. That's what I was thinking.
I personally saw how hard it was for him to walk out and how cowed, the fact that he was beaten, written all over his face. Like, to me, that felt earned. Like, at some point... You can't get out of everything, no matter how smart you are. Mm-hmm. And it was either, you know, have a little bit of dignity and give up, ultimately, when you know that you're beaten, or get found, you know, dead of dehydration in a ditch somewhere. You know, crows pecking at you.
Well, you know, the big thing always on everyone's mind is all these videotapes, confessions, you know, how that's going to come into play. And also, I mean, it's a very specific line that Walt said, his first line after having his rights read, coward. You know, and it invokes something in Jesse. And so, you know, if there is a play, it's, you know, against Jesse, because he knows Jesse ultimately is a screw-up.
By calling him coward, he thinks he might get to him?
I don't know what the game plan is, but I think that was perhaps part of the plan, because it seems too emotional to...
Yeah, because...
You feel like he was trying to get Jesse to recant testimony? I mean, at that point, he's dead to rights. He's confessed to everything.
Well, Walt tells Jesse that he's the coward because he's enlisted Hank's help, but then isn't he also a coward because, you know, he... called the uncles and he put the hit out on Jesse, so it's not like either one of them were taking care of business.
Yeah, I'd say he was more of a coward for pulling the confession videotape ploy. Mm-hmm. Like that was a very cowardly, dastardly move.
Yeah, very effective though. You have to
incredibly effective, but not really doing him much good now. Although ultimately, if Hank dies in this shootout, right, and then the tape comes out, Hank's not able to defend himself.
Yeah, he can look horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that could be the end of it right there. They could also say that Walter White died and his body was never found.
We're only assuming that they recorded this whole thing. I mean, of course, you would think they recorded the phone call where he admitted to all this.
Right. Sure.
Where Walt confessed to half the things that he's been accused of.
But then they blow up the truck.
That's true. Yeah. So we don't know where that evidence, if they actually recorded it, assuming they did, but where is it? And if it's ever going to see the light of day, we don't know.
But here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
So in the flash forward, the neighbor was shocked to see Walt.
Yeah.
And I think it's shocked to see Walt alive. And I think he's never seen by his family again after this shootout until the flash forward. I think he's dead to the world.
Oh, you think he's okay?
I think that's actually in keeping, because the last, you know, before he heads off, he's holding the daughter. There's Walt Jr. having a one day.
Yeah,
you know, and so the whole family's together, and I think that's in keeping with everything.
See, when I saw when he came home and the neighbor saw him, I didn't think it was just that they didn't expect to see him or see him alive. I just thought they realized who Heisenberg was, and oh my God, he's standing right in front of me.
Yeah, that's how I took it as well.
Yeah, not that he was actually ever
dead.
That's
not Walter White. That's Heisenberg.
Exactly. Actually. So, but it could be. Who knows? Yeah. It could be either way. Absolutely. Yeah.
Or both.
So, or both.
Well, I want to get into Jesse's plan, because last week Jesse said, I'm going to hit you where you live, or get you where you live. Mm-hmm. And so we were wondering what that was all about. We all had our different ideas. And clearly Jesse thinks that where Walt really lives is the greed, the money part of it. And he was right, because they come up with the whole plan. And that, of course, involves Huel.
Yeah.
Which leads us right to Huel. I just want to talk Huel because I just love the character.
Yeah.
And you know, it's good to see him, even though, he just kind of a stepping stone to get everything else, but it was great.
His wheezing sounding a lot better. He was not breathing that heavily this episode.
Well, he didn't have to move too much. He was sitting down.
That's true. But even like sitting in Saul Goodman's office, he's usually just
Because of the air conditioning, the dry desert heat is really good for him. Actually,
I want him to get the spinoff, not Saul. I want to see him like in a snazzy apartment in a city, trying to make good, you know, and owning a record store.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's because of Huel that they find out, of course, that the van was dirty. There's a shovel. There's big old 55-gallon drums that hit everything. So they get
seven of them.
Absolutely, just enough information. And then, of course, Hank takes over from there.
It's just a masterful,
pretty clever plan.
Yeah,
right?
Great plan. Great plan. I mean, as we're watching it, we're all just, oh yeah, nice. Yeah. So we always think of Walt as thinking ahead, doing the chess pieces and stuff. Hank, nice.
Yeah.
Way to pull that.
It was kind of just like the video where there was enough truth in it to make them believe it, but there was obviously lacking truth, and you know, but he didn't know that. But it was just like, that story was a reply to the video.
Yeah. Well, it when he said, "I'm going to hit you where you live," it's just so true. Like it was the one nerve, the one piece of evidence, the thing that he was trying to leave behind for his kids.
Yep.
He could take no risk that it was a lie.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, there was no reason to doubt it other than the dirt.
Weren't you a little suspicious though that Walt took the bait so quickly? Or were you? I mean, you specifically, John, because it seemed like you were kind of not on board.
No, well, you know, because two things were going through my mind. Because they used the first phone text or photo text, whatever we want to call it, with the brain matter and Jesse lying on the floor.
Right.
Very effective with Huel. And I had no idea why the brains were getting smeared on the floor and the blood and everything. I was going, what
that
the
was
hell?
Gross,
that was
too.
So funny.
It was. It was great.
But the picture was so obviously fake. His head is still intact.
Yeah.
It's such a dumb
picture. I know,
picture.
But it worked. And I'm just going, okay, I can see it working on Huel. But
on
then
Huel,
it,
right.
And then I was going, they went to the photo text again. I'm going, usually you don't see that in a show where, you know, you use
same
the same bit
twice.
But, you know, I guess, you know, if it worked once, it worked twice. But it worked on Huel, and you kind of see why it could work on Huel. But I was like, wow. They really primed Walt for that, and I was a little hesitant on that one too.
Yeah.
But it clearly got to him, and was first of all, it's just great energy, great shooting. I mean, the cinematography on that was wonderful. The excitement, the music, everything.
How
the
fast
sound
was he driving?
Oh my god, that was
and
great.
And all the red lights, every light was red. He got to. There were no green lights, and he just blew right through.
And I was just.
But you know what? That is the one thing that potentially could read false. Like now that I think about it, is Saul told him to invest in one of those
trackers,
right?
Yeah.
So if there was GPS in the van. And I imagine he would have found it and destroyed it, much like he destroyed his own GPS.
Right.
Which, another thing, right, to Hodgley is where...
Another thing,
right? Well, no, it's just like Jesse looks around. He's like, this is the place where we had our first cook.
That was like,
why would Walt have needed the GPS in the first place to find it?
Well, I think it's because to tell someone else.
I think that's why.
That's why
he did that.
Yeah.
But that for me, that part of it where I was going, why, you know, here's Walt... That seemed to me a mistake. Why go to the same place that you've been that somebody else knows? Obviously, Jesse knows that place. Not that he would ever put it together, but if Jesse ever learned that he buried it out in the desert somewhere, I was thinking right there when they were talking about it, Jesse's going to go, I know where it is.
I feel like it's another Leaves of Grass moment where he feels he's lulled into a false sense of security. When he chose the location.
That would be consistent then.
When he chose the location, you know, there was no reason to believe that Jesse would ever turn on him in such a violent fashion.
Yeah, but he was always so worried about Jesse. And let's face it, just like everybody thinks Marie is a loose cannon, Jesse has never, especially as of late, the last season, for sure, he has not necessarily been on his side.
Yeah.
So I was just thought that was weird that he went to the same place to bury it.
Well, I mean, and everything does look so much alike in the desert. It would kind of be like, you know, a needle in a haystack.
True.
Really. I mean, you can like see everything goes on forever. Yeah, it's the same place.
But how did he recognize it when he was there? That was it's like, wow, he recognized that place? I mean, it didn't seem that indistinguishable from everything else. Or distinguishable, excuse me.
Right.
What were like Jesse's thoughts? Because at first he was kind of like reminiscing, oh, this is where we went for our first cook, right? And then I feel like he didn't really turn until, you know, Walt called him like the coward. So what were you guys thinking?
Well, I mean, he seemed to have a big smile on his face.
Yeah.
He was happy about the whole thing that this guy's finally going to get
his just dessert. But also like a certain amount of... He was stunned. You know, he looked a little shocked.
Like,
that Heisenberg might
happening.
Be. Yeah.
Pleased, but shocked.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I'm sure on some level he thought that he might never see this moment. yeah. that Walt sure. actually, and also that he was probably just as shocked as we were that Walt was surrendering.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure they all thought it was going to go differently, or not as easily, so to speak.
Sure. Well, Gomi did bring that huge shotgun.
Yeah.
You know, kind of going back to the how this is all going to play out thing, the fact that Hank and Gomi are still the only two people
that know.
Who know this is happening,
yeah.
And they, you know, haven't called for backup, haven't told anybody else.
Except Marie.
Yeah. Except Marie. But Marie doesn't know where they are.
And even if they were to die and she tells them, they're going to go, you don't have any evidence and we don't know what you're talking about. And you
right.
So who's going to believe her?
Right.
You call the office first, wife second.
Absolutely.
There you go. No, you call the tribal police first, okay. office second, wife third.
There you go. Yeah, okay. I'm writing that down.
Lessons learned.
Should I get that in there?
So why did he call Marie first?
Well, I think it's just because, you know, first of all, he hasn't told anybody else. So to tell them now, he'd have to explain a hell of a lot on the way in. Mm-hmm. And because of what they've been through, they both saw that confession and where that put them emotionally as a couple, and the whole thing is going, okay. And, you know, Marie says, I'm better now.
Yeah.
So he was trying to allay her concerns or whatever.
Sure. And he loves her.
And he's bragging a bit.
Yeah.
I got it done.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you brag.
He's proud.
Well, I mean, you know, he turns to Gomi. Do you want the? You want to take the pleasure? And he goes, no, this one's
all yours.
Yeah. So yeah, those words come out. I mean, he loved that. You know, you have the right to remain silent.
And again, doing it on the reservation doesn't matter.
I don't know. I mean, I know that. Well, anyway, we'll have to do some research. Fortunately, we didn't have time because we just
right
because we came right, in right after. So. Yeah.
But
it's not an especially large community. It's like. 120 something square miles.
This is Tahajali we're talking about.
Yeah, Tahajali, 120 something square miles, and in the 2000 census, only about 1,650 people live on the entire reservation. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm still take a break. Even in this discussion, I'm getting all keyed up.
Deep breath, everybody.
Seriously, though, getting that massage.
Yeah. Okay, the other thing I wanted to talk about is Walt's confession. I just love that they had all these confessions. You know, mm-hmm. we've seen them, all these fake confessions, you know, from, well, you obviously you've watched the show, you've seen them. But in this one, the rawness of it and the fact that it's been held for so long that he hasn't said anything to anyone about this and it all just came pouring out. I thought that it was – and Jesse doing a great job on the phone just goading him into it.
Yeah.
And I'm going at any point – I'm going – at some point I was waiting for him to realize what the hell was going on.
Right.
You know, of course, he finally realizes when he gets there and Jesse's not there. But I was hoping at some point as he's driving – he realizes what the hell's going on and he stopped. I was hoping that so that they wouldn't ever get to that place where the money was. And did anybody have the same kind of thing that he
I was hoping.
Shut up, Walt, just shut up.
Exactly. Because he was confessing to everything.
Yeah.
Jesse's his blind spot, you know? It's the one thing everyone was telling him he's going to turn on him and he's like, no, he wouldn't do that. He's a loose cannon and he's confused.
But he even protects, he's protective of Jesse when Uncle Jack calls him a rat.
Yeah.
He's not a rat.
He's not a rat. He's just confused
and he won't listen to reason.
Yeah.
And he's so protective of him. And yet still puts a hit out on him.
Right.
Because he's got
a
business.
But a painless hit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, no pain, no fear.
That's right.
Kill him.
Quick, absolutely. And don't do it in front of the woman or her child.
That's
I feel like if he hadn't been trying to get a hold of Jesse so long, maybe he would have thought about more what he was saying during the call. But it is like he had been waiting for this call. And so at that point, especially the trigger of the money.
You think Walt had been waiting for that call?
He had been waiting to hear from Jesse. You know, we saw him last episode going to that meeting and then Jesse backed off and then going to Brock and Andrea's. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, didn't work. So I feel like he had been waiting to, like, say all these things. Mm-hmm. And it was... you know, he felt this was the only time, and especially with the thought of the money burning in the back of his mind, that was all he needed.
I just like all his rationalizations to try to get to listen to him. You know,
during
like,
the confession?
Oh, during the confession. Yeah. And they're all in his mind. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't you know I had just the right amount of poison for Brock so that he wouldn't actually die?
I
know.
I did it all for you. Yeah. It's like a father pleading to his son. Yeah.
And even when he says, "You're so stupid," I mean, that is kind of like a dad who's disappointed in his kid.
Yeah. I built this business for you. Don't you understand?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But can we talk really quickly about the scene at Andrea's? Because that was just, I was just like, you slime.
Oh, go
the
ahead.
Whole time, I'm just cringing that he's in that house. He should not have the right to look at that kid in the eye. Uh-huh. And he's right there.
And how about Brock? I mean,
reaction.
It's almost like I'm reading this guy, I'm going, how could that guy possibly know? But that's what it seemed like, didn't it?
Kids are intuitive. He just knows something's wrong.
Yeah, something's wrong with this bald-headed
guy.
He's
too nice, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think the name Jesse is still, like, sensitive for him because he was, like, growing attached to him, and then Jesse just dropped him like a bag of, you know, old grass. No one has that.
No, I dropped my bag of grass very fast.
You don't save your old grass?
I know. I don't.
Throw
it's mulch for new grass.
Exactly. But I drop it fast. Drop it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm writing that one down, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, a couple of other things I wanted to talk about. Obviously, Lydia's back, and she's very disappointed in the non-blue of the meth. Mm-hmm. But I just liked – I just want to talk briefly about how they did that in production design because obviously there was no blue in this. She was wearing the blue. Mm-hmm. When we see Walter later on, he's wearing – his first one, he's just wearing all the
khaki beige.
And khaki, and he has a white shirt on. His khaki jacket has a blue lining in it, very close to him. And then, of course, in the next scenes and throughout the rest of the show, he's wearing the blue shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Just for me, it's just representing, he's getting pulled back into that meth world, and he is going to have to end up cooking.
Yeah.
So
I also love that opening shot of the meth, formulating into the crystals.
Right.
The POV of the meth. Yeah. Essentially.
And it's just that gross, dry, cloudy color.
Yeah. Ooh, gross. Gross meth.
I totally
ugly meth.
Would not do that.
I would not do that meth.
The other one I would, but I would not do that
meth. It's not a pretty meth.
No.
Not at all.
When I think meth, I want pretty meth. I want glamour. I want stars in my eyes.
Sparkle.
Yeah.
Sparkle meth.
But I loved that whole scene, you know, and like Todd with his creepy, like,
God, is he
he's so attracted to Lydia, but like in that perverse way. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it was just like the spider thing, though, how creepy he was with the spider.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's like this. He just got really close and
just close.
A little touch.
Yeah.
And then like rubbing the lipstick
and then
off
drinking from
her lipstick.
Oh, you know he licked it as soon as he went into the room.
I don't know if it's so much attraction as it is just like, he's insane and crazy, like Silence of the Lambs, and just kind of like worshiping of like females.
I think that's a trophy. I think he kept the cup along, like he kept the spider. He's probably got that in his little shrine now.
I wonder if we get to see where Todd keeps his trophies.
I don't know that.
Like before the end of the series. I hope
that's a spinoff.
Well, no, but it's like, what if it somehow plays into Walt's escape from the Aryans? Yeah. He finds some things in there that he's able to use as weapons, like the tarantula.
Okay. All right.
And the lipstick mug.
Well, if he shatters the mug, and that would be a great callback to the shattered plate from the first season.
Okay.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Some of them are stretches. I was going to say that. Sometimes it's a stretch.
No, but what do you guys think? Do you guys think that Todd is really actually attracted to this woman? Or do you think it's more of like he's like this serial killer, like nutcase?
I think it's both.
I think Todd's just attracted to any sort of power.
Interesting. Okay.
Think about it. Walt.
Yeah.
His uncle.
Yeah.
Right. Lydia.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just he has a weird fascination with those things. And yeah, with Lydia, she happens to be a female, so there could be a sexual component because he has a physical outlet.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, you know, it's just more mentally stimulating.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's a weird guy.
He's a very strange guy.
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
And every time he's on camera, I just go, what's he going to do now to weird me out?
How about his little toy gun that they gave him?
Yeah, I know. We all started giggling when they cut to his close-up, the look on his face while he's shooting.
He might be the most interesting character that we don't know.
I don't think you can ever know this guy. I mean, he's just...
He's a cipher. He's a ghost.
Yeah. Very well could be.
Yeah.
All right, what was the other thing? What else we got?
Saul coming to the car wash.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So
first
funny.
Of all, yeah, the whole thing with, you know, of course, Skylar not wanting her kids to be at home. She's very mother hen, protecting them, wants them inside at all times. Having a one day.
It's all about branding, calling back to
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing, the branding issue. Yeah, because we saw that with Lydia saying the blue is the brand, and then, of course, we go into the car wash and... Why are we doing the A1? I thought that was nice, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know where they're going to go with that or if they're going anywhere else with it, but that was a great callback.
Yeah.
Just Saul coming in and sort of enchanting Walter Jr.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, here's the guy on the billboard.
The smile on his face was a mile wide.
Oh, my gosh.
He'd never met a celebrity before.
Yeah.
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 But that scene was so hilarious. I think one of the great achievements of this episode, for the level of tension that they were able to build, the brief moments where they were able to break it were so necessary.
Yeah, especially that.
Yes.
Yeah, what's the catchphrase? Never call Saul? No, always call.
Better call.
Better call.
Thank
call
you.
Saul.
I can't believe I didn't remember that.
Don't drive drunk.
Yeah. Don't drive drunk.
I felt like that better was foreshadowing.
Saul. But I just love the way Walt just runs in. He's got Holly in his arms,
and then he darts back out.
Yeah, exactly.
Now wait a second. So you think Walt Jr. is going to call Saul at some point?
I do, because it's like his celebrity. Like he was like,
they have a connection.
They did,
and he's
they had a moment.
And he's like, don't drink and drive, but if you do, call me. And I mean, Walt Jr.'s eyes just lit up like he wanted to go drink and drive right then.
Well, that absolutely could be a possibility. I mean, that would make sense.
And it feeds into
Walt Jr. gets in trouble.
Yeah, it feeds into the theory that he's doing meth or he's up to something. Mm-hmm. You know, he's broken bad in his own way,
right,
getting into trouble.
You had a question. What was he saying to his mother when he wanted to leave there?
Right,
he wanted to go home and chill
and go get some stuff.
So, do you think that's him? That's a little foreshadow of him wanting to go get some meth or something?
I think that if he was doing drugs, because it's one of those theories that I'd never considered. Mm-hmm. But the more I think about it, the more I like it, because he's so pure,
right.
You know, is like, yeah, he had to leave all of his drug stuff behind at the house and hasn't had an opportunity to go get it because his mom has been watching him like a hawk to protect her kids. That's the only reason why he's at the car wash in the first place. You know, she never had any interest in him working there before, but she's trying to keep him safe. So she's keeping an eye on him. And I bet that he probably does have something back at the house that he really would like to have right about now.
Oh, that's heartbreaking to think. But,
I know.
But yeah, all right.
Wasn't there an interview I read earlier this week? I can't remember where it was.
Yep.
Talking about – oh, no. A fan tweeted to us 10 abandoned plot lines from Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
From Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, the Entertainment Weekly, article. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of them involved Walt Jr. Breaking Bad, I think, in the first season, doing so, I can't remember for the life of me what it is, and I'm pissed that I can't. But the writers said that it was far more rewarding story wise to keep Walter Jr. pure,
right?
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if he remains pure through the series, or if we discover at the very end that he's been up to some stuff. It's just a thought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a bunch of other thoughts that we got. I mean, everybody's writing up on the boards. I'm just going to go through a few. By the way, we love it when you guys write in about your own theories and you want to share them. Please continue to do that. Go to AfterBuzzTV.com. You can do it on YouTube. You can do it on iTunes.
You can tweet us.
You can tweet us. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What did we get? Oh, here we go.
Eric from the Netherlands.
From the Netherlands,
an email about Badger and Skinny Pete potentially coming back as possibilities for witnesses of Heisenberg.
Because,
so thank you, Eric.
Yeah, and Skinny Pete, we still have – how are we doing?
As of now, we are confirmed.
We are confirmed. Skinny Pete will be joining us next week.
All right.
Yeah.
He will be in the studio, so we'll get to ask Skinny Pete all kinds of things, if he's coherent. I mean, make sure we have a lot of pizza and something else to keep him occupied.
Doritos.
Video games.
So if you have questions.
Talk Star Trek with him.
Yeah.
Yes,
Star Trek was more Badger's bag.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I'll be able to go round for round with him.
And, you know, just to finish that note, that's actually what Eric from the Netherlands was talking about, that and a couple people have actually mentioned it. I think it was also on our YouTube page. Mm-hmm. People saying that the Star Trek moment seemed to have as they usually do, have a little more import to it. There might be some other reason besides comic relief for that being in the episode. So we'll see about that. You've got some more, John.
Yeah, Lisa James wrote, and she speaking to that point, when Hank said that this is in last week's episode, when Hank said that Jesse was a junkie murderer, I think he really meant that. And then she goes on to say that while you know the writers are trying to show that not everyone in this is not all good nor all bad, and when Hank's trying to catch Walt, he isn't completely good in the sense that he seems to want to catch Walt more so because of his ego and his anger due to the Walt that due to the fact that Walt played him. And I think this week we got to see that coming through. Go ahead.
Right, when he called Marie and said, got him.
It was clearly from our personal and selfish reasons.
Timmy Dipshit, if you'll remember.
Yeah, exactly. And then Gomi picks up on that too.
Timmy Dipshit is one of the funniest things. I think that's so awesome.
Here's another thing from Yaya Heifer. Walt says that Jesse looks up to him. He says that Walter loves that Jesse looks up to him. It's conditional love with Walter. The reason Walt killed Mike was because Jesse had found someone else to look up to be a father figure. Walt poisoned the boy to get Jesse back. It's like Jesse cannot have anyone but Walter in his life, or Walter gets jealous. That was his comment about that, or her comment. I'm not exactly sure who
I'd agree with that.
Absolutely. And still, again, we go back to the fact that there's that father-son protection, and even it's just this yin-yang thing with him, because he hates what he's doing, wants to kill him, but still being protective of him. That's just such an odd, complex, layered, nuanced.
Screwed up.
Clearly, yeah.
Dysfunctional, broken, abused relationship.
Kyle Foster wrote that Walt is putting a hit on Hank, not Jesse. Ooh, so close.
So close,
Kyle. All right, let's see. here's an interesting. What if Marie tries to kill Walt with the ricin but accidentally kills Skylar? That's just.
Hey.
Interesting.
I mean, you know, somebody mentioned that, you know, they'd like more analysis and less prediction at this point. But the thing is we all know where we're headed, you know.
Yeah.
The end of the series is three episodes away. And so, and that's what the entire world is about. I mean, everybody's talking about what's going to happen next. And I love seeing what people are writing on message boards and the information that we're getting to see. Because they come up with things that I would never even think of.
No. Great. And often,
I mean, look at this behind you. Look at the cover. That's where we're headed.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah,
right.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Tim.
Yeah.
You want to get into news and gossip?
Yeah,
let's get into news and gossip. Yes, we are. We got to get around.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston are hosting a Breaking Bad finale watching show on September 29th here in Los Angeles at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Tickets went on sale this week and sold out in 2 minutes.
No surprises.
Two minutes.
Yeah.
Big success for one of the biggest shows on TV, but if you're still interested in attending the finale, the stars are having a sweepstakes giving away VIP tickets to the finale. Chances to win are $10 an entry, with proceeds benefiting the Kind Campaign. The Kind Campaign is an anti-bullying organization that brings awareness to the negative and lasting effects of girl against girl crime. You can find that on Aaron Paul's Twitter feed. He's talking about it a lot on there. Entertainment Weekly also has had an article out this week highlighting all the actors' most difficult scenes.
Oh.
And at the top of their list were either the physically or emotionally most demanding episodes. Betsy Brandt recalls that her chest hurt. She was having chest pains after the "Why don't you kill yourself" scene with Bryan Cranston, and she needed a hug afterwards. It's a great article.
Wow.
Read it. Thanks to Twitter fan Vanilla Cupcake for giving us that, and I did tweet out the link to that.
Thank
article.
You, Cupcake.
Aaron Paul appeared on The Price is Right in 2000.
Oh, yeah.
And the clip
has
come out this week, found on YouTube, which was very interesting. And then our last little bit of news, a U.S. toy company called Citizen Brick set off a firestorm this week by releasing for sale its Bricking Bad Lego-like toy in the theme of Breaking Bad. The 500-piece set, which sells for around $200, has already sold out and features an RV, a meth lab, and key figurines of the Breaking Bad characters.
That looks rad!
So kitties can reenact their favorite scenes from the show.
Look at that. Bricking Bad.
We also have the characters of Gus Fring and Mike there. I also tweeted out the link for this. It's pretty stinking funny. You know, of course, people are going, oh, my God, that's horrible. I can't believe they did that.
Who's saying that? That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, they're First of all, kids. It's not available any longer. Yeah. Sold out immediately. So I'm dubious that it was ever even out there for real. But okay. I think it's hilarious.
It will be now, probably.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I have for you guys.
Great.
Check out those links. They're pretty darn funny and interesting.
Okay. One thing, I just wanted to go real quick because we didn't talk about any of this. Well, we talked a little bit about the cinematography. But there's one shot, wide shot, when they're the first scene with with Lydia and Todd when they're and he's chatting with them, they're shot way up high and they're looking through
outside the warehouse.
Looking through the panes of the window and everything, and they have that grid in there. Mm-hmm. And I was going, ooh, very, very cool shot. I don't know what it was, you know, if it was just for the coolness of it, if they were trying to, I don't know what they were trying to convey, to be honest with it. Anybody have any feeling about that one? It just looked like a prison cell.
The one
basically.
Thing that kind of struck me was at the last part of that scene. I'm not sure if, are you talking about the shot where they're outside?
Inside. And they're it's shot through the grid of all these panes of window, like they're in the office way up high and they're shooting through the window down to them on the floor.
It's kind of like a prison cell. Yeah, and it could be foreshadowing to Walter's fate.
But also it kind of echoed a little bit the scene where Gomi and Hank meet out under the bridge. Mm-hmm. And you see all those, again, all this grid work, all this square lines. And I don't know if that has to do with the cut and dry, the black and white kind of thing. We're coming to the end where they're less nuanced and now we're going to the straight and, you know, like things are what they are.
I like that interpretation a lot.
I think
I was going to say this. I really like this episode was directed by Michelle McLaren.
Yes.
And, I like her in particular because, I mean, she's done Walking Dead as a producer. She's done Game of Thrones and this as well. And so to be on those three huge TV shows, she has a wealth of knowledge to pull from each. And can use certain tricks from one to the other, you know? Yeah. And so I think we're really seeing that.
And shows a good range for her, too. My God. All right.
But that visual motif, you know, it's kind of – I think it represents kind of constriction.
Yeah.
You know,
I
we only have three episodes left. Everyone's kind of out of moves. Mm-hmm. Everyone's boxed in. Mm-hmm. They're desperate.
Yeah. And even though we jumped in time and space, you can see it all starting to come together. Mm-hmm. So everything's going to hit that nexus point. All right. Last words. Anybody?
I think the fact that they're on a reservation is going to come into play.
Predictions now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Just talk right over it.
Now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I think the fact that they're on a reservation is going to come into play in the next two episodes.
Well, first of all, let me just ask. Do Hank and Gomi survive?
No.
No, you think they're dead?
I think...
Tamara?
Dead.
Dead.
I think they're dead.
I don't think they can make it out.
Maybe Gomi's in critical.
I think Gomi dies. I think they don't kill Hank, but they use him. You know, he's wounded or whatever, but Walt gets them not to kill him, so now he's like not a bartering chip or so, but now they have to deal with the fact that, because I don't think Walt's going to allow that to happen. I think he's going to do something, and I think he'll keep Hank alive. But Gomi's dead for sure.
But alive, but communicative, like able to defend himself, because that's a key in the Hank story.
I don't think he's not going to be unconscious or anything like that. I think he's going to, because he'll convince Uncle Jack not to kill him because of, for whatever reason, I don't know.
Okay.
But I think to your point, I think actually you may be on the money, because if you're going to kill Hank, you kill him at the end of an episode. Yeah. You give him his proper death.
Exactly.
To kill him in the opening moments of an episode is kind of crap.
It does, but they defy convention all the time.
That's true. Side.
So I mean, it's and they'll make it work. However, I just don't think I don't think Hank's gonna die in this episode. He may eventually. I just don't think it's gonna be this next episode.
Fair enough.
But go ahead. You had another prediction.
Yeah, Walt's gonna be a meth prisoner. He's gonna be a meth prisoner. He's gonna somehow break out and anger the Slavs to such a degree that they come to America and wage war.
Oh, wow.
Or he's fighting the Aryan Brotherhood. You've got a massive machine gun.
He's got a lot of enemies.
Yeah.
I think it's the Aryans because he's not going to do what they want him to. He's going to, like you said, he's going to escape. Whatever he's going to do, his family's going to be in jeopardy because of the Aryans, and that's who he's going to go in.
The question is, because it's an M64. It's a huge machine gun. It requires three people to run it. And that's if you know what you're doing. Do you think that it's Walt, Jesse, and Hank at the end, a last stand where he intends to ricin them after?
Well, that speaks to Mike August's predictions. Not predictions, but he's always talking about the trio effect that they have going, and they've had this running theme.
Right.
And if it really takes – I didn't know that about that gun. Thank you for bringing that in. But if it takes that three, then, that would confirm all his suspicions about having them lay in all this trio stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't think that Jack's listening to anyone anymore. I feel like, you know, right now Walt's in handcuffs, and I think, like you said, you know, he's probably going to be a prisoner of some sort, and I'm not sure what they're going to do, but, I mean, he ordered the hit on Jesse, and they can see Jesse's in the car, so...
And speaking of Jesse, we've completely forgot to say that Jesse, of course, snuck out.
Yes.
And is not part of this and is completely alive.
Right?
For now.
Yeah.
For now.
Yes. Yeah. So, there it is. That's it.
Did you have any predictions, Chuck?
I said them while we were doing it. Matt, tell them where they can...
Okay.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find me here on AfterBuzz TV on the Low Winter Sun and Under the Dome after shows. And we have guests on both shows this week. So that's very exciting.
Nice. Ooh, fantastic. You can find me at Tamara Berg, TamaraBerg on Twitter. And my website is TamaraCentral.com. I'm also doing the newsroom this week.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm Kristen Snyder. You can Bing my blog, Cinematic Escape, or you can also follow me on Twitter, Cinematic Escape.
You can find me on the newsroom this week. So, right, and hopefully you'll find us here next week. So we'll talk to you next time.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.